Merry Christmas. It is so good to be together like this and celebrate like we are doing in this moment. I mean, how good has it been to sing the songs that we've had this afternoon? Yeah? How good was it to watch Anthony's story? It was amazing, yeah? And how awesome was it to meet Healthy Gerald? He's a bit of all right, isn't he? We're thinking this year about what it means to light up Christmas. How do you light up Christmas? Well, obviously, a lot of people actually literally light up their houses, yeah? So you put lights on your houses and put your hands up if you've been for a drive this year to see all the Christmas lights. It's always a good thing to do, isn't it? Look, people light up their houses. People light up themselves sometimes. I noticed Mandy come in here tonight with flashing earrings. Is that true? Can you turn them on for us? Come on. And stand up and give us a little look. Look at that. Flashing earrings, eh? Light yourself up, eh? Get on you, Mandy. So people light up their homes, people light up themselves, but check this out. Have you ever seen someone light up their car? Now, I've got no idea what kind of car that is. What is that anyway? Looks like a Valiant or something. Eh? It looks like an all right car, doesn't it? People do all kinds of things to try to light up Christmas, but we know the way you light up Christmas is you focus in on the one who is the light of the world. And that's what we're doing here today, this evening. We're celebrating, and we're celebrating by remembering a particular moment, and that is the most amazing moment in human history, the moment where Jesus Christ, our Saviour, arrived. And we know that that moment when Jesus arrived was the moment where the brilliance of the true light of heaven burst into our world. Amen? This is the moment we're celebrating, and it's a good thing to do. I want you to think back with me to the very first Christmas, and I want you to notice the light that was kind of flashing around everywhere around those early events on the first Christmas. Think about the shepherds in the field watching their flocks, and an angel appears and lights up the sky. Luke chapter 2, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There's some serious light for you. Well, think about the wise men, the magi. What was it that helped them find their way to the location of Jesus? Well, Matthew 2 says the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. It was a bright light in the sky that directed them. The priest, Zechariah, when he first got to lay eyes on Jesus, he burst into song. And look at some of the things that he is singing about in his song, Luke 1. He says, "The rising sun has come to us from heaven." That's what he's singing about. So if all this is going on the first Christmas, light flashing in the sky and all around, and priests singing about the sun coming, it really is no surprise, is it, that when Jesus gets his moment and he gets the chance to stand up publicly and declare who he is, that he uses these words and he says, "I am the light of the world." That's who our Jesus is. And you know, Jesus used these words at a pretty interesting moment. He chose the moment of a festival in Jerusalem to speak about himself in this way. And check it out, the festival was called the Festival of the Light. And it was a particular moment in the Jewish calendar where they'd light extra torches and extra candles in the temple to really light up the temple in such a way that the light would burst out the windows of the temple into the city of Jerusalem, and it would be symbolically saying that the temple is the light of the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus chooses that moment to stand up and go, "Yeah, that's kind of cool, but watch this. You might be the light temple, you might be the light of the city of Jerusalem, but I am the light of the world." That is a huge claim. What does he mean anyway? What does it mean for Jesus to be the light of the world? Well, we know how light works, don't we? And particularly we know how, you know, what it's like when a bright light bursts into a dark place. What does it do? It shows you what's going on in that place. You can see what's happening. That's what light does. You know, think about when a lightning strikes in a dark night. I love lightning storms. I know they're a little bit scary, but whenever there's a lightning storm, I'm just mesmerized by it. And if you get close enough to a lightning storm, I know it's a bit scary, but if you get close enough, when the lightning hits just next to you, when it hits the ground just next to you, not only does the sky light up, but all of the land lights up as well. And you can look around and it's almost like daytime. Yeah, for a split second, it's like daytime. Or think about when you go and see the fireworks. In a couple of days' time, you'll probably be going to see some on New Year's Eve. When all the fireworks are just bursting into the sky, they light up the sky, but also the land and the earth as well, don't they? A few years ago, I remember being down at Woi Woi, go to the peninsula, for the New Year's Eve fireworks. And you know the finale of the fireworks? They always just let off about 1,000 crackers at the same time and just completely blow up the sky. And if you're sitting right underneath the fireworks like we were, it not only lights up the sky, but the whole land. And in that moment, I turned around and realized that one of my kids, instead of focusing on the fireworks, he was facing the other way. He'd found a bag of chips and he was just hoeing into them, right? And the light just kind of exposed what was really going on all around me, and I could see really clearly what was happening, but I couldn't in the dark. That's what it's like, isn't it? Light and dark. Now, here we are in a building. We've got some lights here, and so we're going to play with the lights a little bit. We're going to think about what it's like to be in the dark and what it's like to be in the light. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to kill the lights in just a moment, and what I want you to do is just kind of look around and see if you can see anything or anyone or recognize what's going on around you. Now, if you're a bit concerned about how dark it might get, don't panic. It's not going to go pitch black. There'll still be those lights on the stairs and the exit signs, but we're going to kill them enough that hopefully you can't see what's going on. That's what I want you to see. So let's drop the lights. There they go. Now look around you. Can you see who it is around you? Can you turn around and look back behind you, about five rows behind you, and can you see who that is who's sitting there? Can you see what's going on? Okay, now let's get the lights back on. What's going on here, hey? It's Healthy Gerald. We had to bring him back. Look at him. He's just an awesome specimen. Everyone say, Gerald. Come on, get out of here, Gerald. Thank you, mate. Give me a high five. There you go. You're awesome, man. Just get the real deal going on, all right? You can walk, can't he? You get the point, don't you? You don't know what's going on in the dark. Crazy things can happen, and you don't know what's... But when the light comes on, you can see what's actually happening all around you. And that's why we love the light, because we like to be able to see what's going on. Well, most people love the light. There are people who hate the light. You know, if you've got a balaclava on your head and you're jumping over someone's wall to try and break in and steal something, not that any of you ever do that, but if that was you, you'd be hating the light. Because when the security lights come on, that stops you in your tracks. You know what else hates the light? Cockroaches. You ever notice how they hate the light? You get up in the middle of the night with the munchies and you head to the kitchen and you flick the light on, and what do those cockroaches do? They just scatter, don't they? They run from the light and they run to the shadows. Now, we don't have cockroaches at our house, but I know you do, all right? And I've heard this happens at your house. So cockroaches hate the light. They run from the light, but not all insects are the same. You know, you've got other insects that react in the exact opposite way. Really, they love the light. So think about your standard moth type thing and other winged insects that when you flick the light on, they just come for it. Yeah, they're drawn to the light. They want to hang out with the light. Insects react differently to light. You know what point I'm going to make here? People are actually not that different to insects. People react differently to the true light of Jesus. Some people, when they come across Jesus, the true light, are just drawn to him and they love him and they want to be with him. Others run from him and want to get away from the light of Jesus. What does that mean anyway? What does it mean for Jesus to be the light where some are drawn to him and others run from him? Well, in the Bible, when you see the word light being used to describe God or his son, Jesus, it actually can mean a number of different things. Sometimes it's describing God's holiness and righteousness. Sometimes it's speaking about how he's the one who has life in him. Sometimes it's speaking about how he's the judge of the earth. But you know, one of the big ones that's often in mind when God is described as being the one who is light, or when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You know, the big one on view, it's this. It's that he is the one who comes to reveal truth. Yeah? Like when you flick a light on and you can actually see what's going on in front of you and all around you, Jesus comes. And when he comes as the true light, he shows us reality. He reveals the truth about the world and our lives, and he shows us actually what's really going on in this place, which is at the same time wonderful and uncomfortable. Because when the true light of Jesus shines into our world and comes to us, we get to see wonderful things. We get to see that our world, we see that it's actually made by God, and so he owns it. And we get to see things about ourselves. We get to see that he created us, and so therefore we too belong to him. And when the true light of Jesus shines on us in that way, we can actually see what it means to live, because we are living in his world, and we need to do it in a way that actually honors him, the one who gave us life. So the true light of Jesus is a wonderful thing and an uncomfortable thing, because the light exposes us. It actually ends up showing us that we've failed to live in a way that honors him, the one who made us. It actually shows us that we've actually rejected him, and that we, in a similar way to cockroaches, would prefer to run for the shadows than be in his light. Jesus, as the light of the world, reveals to us this uncomfortable truth, the reality of darkness. Darkness in our world, darkness in our own hearts. And so in the passage that we had just had read earlier, John chapter 3, Jesus says, here's the verdict, here's the deal, people. Light has come into this world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. That's what the light does. It actually kind of exposes that actually this darkness here. And the darkness is a serious problem. When Zechariah sings his song about Jesus, the sun who comes, look at Luke 1, we'll look at his words again. He says, the rising sun has come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Darkness is a serious problem. Darkness is a symbol for our sin and our rejection of God, which is the very thing that leads to death. And that's what Jesus has come to show us and fix as the true light. Christmas, surprisingly enough, actually has a way of reminding us about the reality of darkness. It can be a little bit uncomfortable. Yeah? It's a wonderful time, Christmas, and we do long for it to be good, but for most of us, in fact, I've never heard of anyone who has an absolutely perfect Christmas, and primarily because it's the time we're attempting to get family together, which is not so easy. And you might be sitting next to your family tonight and you don't want to laugh at these jokes, but I'm going to tell them anyway. We face all kinds of challenges when we try to get family together. One of them can be the fact that certain family members have passed away, and you can find yourself just really missing loved ones who are not there. That's really hard. But for a lot of people, the challenges are along the lines of getting together the family who are dysfunctional and who have a level of separation. And what exists is a decent amount of brokenness. So you're trying to bring together a bunch of crew who it's hard to get on. We miss loved ones, but sometimes when the loved ones are around, it's hard to be around with them. You can begin the day with smiles and saying, it's so good to be together. I can't believe it's been a whole year since we've been together. And you get to the end of the day and you remember why it is. Now, sadly, and more seriously, you know, for the police and the ambulance service, it is actually one of the biggest days of the year for call-outs to drunken domestic disputes. The service Lifeline, who does a fantastic job helping people who are right on the edge, feeling the despair of life, they get more calls on the day after Christmas than any other day of the year. That tells us something about Christmas, doesn't it? It tells us that for many, actually all of us on some level, we actually are forced to face the darkness, not just in the world out there, but in our own families and even in our own lives as we contribute to the brokenness in our own families. And it's hard to face. It can be excruciating. The songs that we sing at Christmas, the carols we sing, they do speak about the darkness, and we sing them. So, O Holy Night, which we're about to sing in just a few minutes, look at the first line. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining. So, long lay the world actually in darkness until he appeared and the soul feels its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I love that old language. Yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. What's that saying? What that's saying, kids, is this. If you're wondering what that language is this. As Jesus arrives, hope arrives. Kind of like a new and glorious morning, that brilliant sunrise that just shines into our darkness. And what that means is we can actually acknowledge the darkness. We can say, yes, it's been a long, hard, dark night, but Jesus has come with hope and light and life. And you know, as Jesus comes, it really does leave everyone with a choice. And your choice is how you are going to react to the light. You can either hate the light or love it. You can misunderstand Jesus and disagree with Jesus, and you can even be angry at Jesus or fearful about Jesus that he's going to expose what you really like and find yourself just running from the light. Or you can love the light, you can welcome it, you can be drawn to the light, you can step toward the light, and you can come right into the light. And it's one or the other. You can't half do this. You either run from the light or you run to the light. You can't half be in the light either. You either walk and live in darkness or you live and walk in the light. It's just a sharp distinction. It is the difference between day and night. There's lots of different types of people in our world, different countries, different nationalities, different cultures, different languages, but really, there's actually just two types of people in our world. There are those who are following Jesus who have been brought into the light, and there are those who haven't. And I tell you what, if you've been brought into the light, you know it, don't you? Colossians says we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. There's a before and after. Like the song Amazing Grace says, I once was blind in spiritual darkness, but now I see. Yeah? Did you catch what Anthony said through his sign language? Jesus, brilliant video. Did you catch what he said? He says, I'm no longer in the dark. No longer in the dark. Maybe you remember the moment when the lights came on for you, if you're in the light. You remember that moment, or maybe you remember multiple moments where the lights come on, you're like, I get it. I can see this world I'm living in. I can see that there's a God. I can see what I'm meant to do with my life. It's so wonderful. You know when you're in the light. So if you're sitting here today thinking, oh, I'm not sure. I might be in the light, but maybe I'm in the dark. 99% sure you're still in the dark. Because you know when you've been brought into the light. The cool thing is, you can acknowledge where you are because there's good news. You can acknowledge the darkness and your sin, and you can turn to Jesus. And you can follow him and get to walk in the light. And this is an incredible promise that Jesus makes to us. He talks to us in John 8 about how he is the light of the world. He says, I'm the light of the world. But check out the promise that he follows that claim with. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What an incredible promise. And I want to tell you something today, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you were designed for this. You were designed to draw near to the light and step into the light. That's what you were made for. And you were made for that so that you would walk in the light. Two things, walk in the light and get lit up yourself. Those two things. I'm going to finish on these. Firstly, to actually draw near to the light of Jesus and step into the light of Jesus means you get to walk by the day. You get to walk in the light. It's such a wonderful thing to do. You get to make your way through life with the lights on. You get to actually see what this world's all about and understand what's right in front of you and therefore be able to see where you're meant to be putting your feet so you can navigate your way through life in a way that actually honors the one who put you here. in Zechariah's song, he speaks about this too. He says, the rising sun has come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Guide your feet in the path of peace. How wonderful is it to be able to see and walk and live in peace. Peace with people, yes, it'll help you do that. But ultimately, peace with your God, the one who made you. You were not made to stumble around in the dark. You were not made to try and make your way through life with lesser lights, and there are lesser lights than the true light. It's possible to live in this world without the true light, but it will be more confusing, more frightening, and it will be more painful ultimately in the end. So come to the light. It's so good to walk in the light. We get to see, and we get this incredible promise that never again will we walk in darkness. That's an eternal promise, by the way. We get to have the light of life now and forever. That's a brilliant thing, isn't it? And here's the second thing and the final thing. You were designed to draw near to the light and step into the light so that you would walk in the light, but secondly, so that you would get lit up yourself. Now, I know some people these days use that language to talk about other things, getting lit, all right? But let me tell you this. The ultimate way to get lit up, if I'm using the language right, trying to be young and cool, all right, the ultimate way to get lit is to go to the ultimate source of light, Jesus, the true light. Come to him and get lit up. Because here's what happens. When you step into the light, you not only get to walk in that light, but you actually get to be transformed by the light so that in Jesus, you become light. Check this out in Ephesians 5. You were once darkness. Not you once were in darkness. You once were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. You step into the light of the Lord and you are light. So you live as a child of the light. How magnificent is this? You might think, but hang on, didn't Jesus say he's the light of the world? Yes. But then check out what he said to his followers who step into his light. Matthew 5. You are the light of the world, he says to them. Let your light shine before others. So you step into his light, you live by his light. You actually join him in becoming the light of the world. That's phenomenal. The privilege that it is to be in the light. And I tell you what, if you were with us during Philippians, the series that we just did in church, you would have picked up on this passage, Philippians chapter 2, where Paul tells the Christians, hey, shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And did you catch what Anthony said in his video? He said, my life is about shining his light. Did you catch that? My life is about shining his light. What an incredible privilege. It's almost like we're like sparklers. You know how sparklers work? You're not meant to keep sparklers locked up in a dark box, are you? You're meant to pull the sparklers out and connect them with the flame so that they burst into flames themselves, and then you get to run around writing your name. I don't know what you do with sparklers. We do things with sparklers. It's almost like we are sparklers. You're not meant to dwell in the shadows. You're meant to come out and actually be connected with the flame. You're actually meant to be brought to Jesus, the true source of light, and get lit up yourself, so that you would burst into the flames that are the flames of Jesus. Well, perhaps the more safer illustration these days, sparklers are being replaced by the safer version, the glow stick. I think that's why they invented glow sticks, so we don't get so many children burnt. I say bring back the good old days. But anyway, glow sticks, you know how they're meant to work? They're meant to glow, yeah? But you got to snap them and crack them and shake them up and down to get them to glow. We're kind of like that too. You come to Jesus, and I tell you what, it's not always easy to come to Jesus. In fact, you're following the suffering servant, so the things are going to be very hard. There's going to be times where you feel like you're getting snapped and cracked and shaken up and down, but here's the thing, you get to glow. You get to glow with him in his light like you were made to do, and I tell you what, there's nothing better than that. The light of the world, you get to join in on that. What an incredible privilege, eh? To live as children of the light, let your light shine before others. We get to do this together. We get to do it in Jesus together. What an incredible privilege. So this Christmas, light it up. Put lights on your house. Put lights on your earrings. More people should put lights on their cars. Well, that's probably illegal, I was just thinking. Just don't drive it, yeah. But more than that, draw near to Jesus, the light of the world. Know the true light. Walk in his light and be light in him, with him. Amen? Let me pray. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you that he comes and he reveals reality to us. It's a wonderful thing to see the world that we're living in, but it's an uncomfortable thing to understand that we are in the dark. But thank you that there's good news. Thank you that you come to us with an incredible promise that we can know you, Jesus, the light of the world, and we can walk with you in that light and never be in darkness again. Thank you that we can have the light of life. What an incredible promise, Lord. Help us to light up Christmas by drawing near to you. Amen. Amen. Amen.